the one essential phrase. That is our go show for today. I don't know how far I'll get into it. It's not that long a go show, but it's a critical one. You know how I always very gratified for your participation in these videos, and I talk about that when I close out each video. I remind you how thankful I am, proud of your practice. And Nichiren starts out by saying exactly what I wish I would say with every video, but in essence, in my own way, I'm trying to. And he starts out by saying, "For you to inquire about the Lotus Sutra and ask its meaning is a rare source of good fortune." So, the fact that you're here watching this is because you have a question, you have a seeking mind, you're looking for answers, you're curious. For you to use that curiosity to look into Lotus Sutra, whether you're starting out or you've been practicing for a very long time, your curiosity is still there, and that's essential for your practice. And what Nichiren is saying is, congratulate yourselves. That's a rare thing today, especially in the latter day of the law. In this age of the latter day of the law, those who ask about the meaning of even one phrase or verse of the Lotus Sutra are far fewer than those who can hurl Mount Sumeru, an entire mountain, to another land like a stone, or those who can kick the major world system away like a ball. That'd be something. I don't think I'd want to kick the solar system, though. They are even fewer than those who can embrace and teach countless other sutras, thereby enabling the monks and lay believers who listen to them to obtain the six transcendental powers. Equally rare is a monk who can explain the meaning of the Lotus Sutra and resolve people's doubts concerning it. That's all our mission, isn't it? The Treasure Tower chapter in the fourth volume of the Lotus Sutra sets forth the important principle of the six difficult and nine easy acts. You're asking a question about the Lotus Sutra is among the six difficult acts. This is a sure indication that if you embrace the Lotus Sutra, you will become a Buddha in your present form. Since the Lotus Sutra defines our body as the Dharma body of a thus come one, our mind as the reward body of a thus come one, and our actions as the manifested body of a thus come one, all who uphold and believe in even a single phrase or verse of this sutra will be endowed with the benefits of these three bodies. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo is only one phrase or verse, but it is no ordinary phrase, for it is the essence of the entire sutra. You asked whether one can attain Buddhahood only by chanting Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, and this is the most important question of all. This is the heart of the entire sutra and the substance of its eight volumes. So the entire meaning and efficacy and practice of the sutra, the method for invoking Buddhahood, is substantially, entirely within the characters Myoho Renge Kyo. And Namu is your samsaric invocation single-mindedly to fuse with Myoho Renge Kyo, Buddha. The spirit within one's body of 5 or 6 feet may appear in just one's face, which is only a foot long, and the spirit within one's face may appear in just one's eyes, which are only an inch across. Included within the two characters representing Japan is all that is within the country's 66 provinces. The people, the animals, the rice paddies and other fields, those of high and low status, the nobles and commoners, the seven kinds of treasures, and all the other precious gems, similarly included within the title of Daimoku of Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, is the entire sutra consisting of all 8 volumes, 28 chapters, and 69,384 characters, without the omission of a single character. Concerning this, Po Chui stated that the title is to the sutra as the eyes are to the Buddha. In the 8th volume of his annotations on the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, Miao Lo states, quote, "When for the sake of brevity one mentions only the Daimoku, or title, the entire sutra is by implication included therein," end quote. Right? So they're using an earthly example, but it's like saying, when you say Japan, just saying the word Japan invokes all of your thoughts, from sushi to people to cars to the industry to the GDP, the population, the shape of faces, that everything that you could possibly think of as Japanese is included in the word Japan. And the more you know about Japan, the more is invoked every time you say Japan. And that's the point. Myoho Renge Kyo is the entire sutra, and the more you learn about the sutra, the more Myoho Renge Kyo is significant for you. Study. Study, practice, resolve. The 3 pillars, right? By this he means that although for the sake of brevity only the title of the sutra is spoken, the entire sutra is contained in the title alone. Everything has its essential point, and the heart of the Lotus Sutra is its title, or the Daimoku of Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Truly, if you chant this in the morning and evening, you are correctly reading the entire Lotus Sutra. Chanting Daimoku twice is the same as reading the entire sutra twice. 100 Daimoku equal 100 readings of the sutra, or recitations. And 1,000 Daimoku, 1,000 readings of the sutra. Thus, if you ceaselessly chant Daimoku, you will be continually reciting the Lotus Sutra. The 60 volumes of the Tendai doctrines give exactly the same interpretation. A teaching that is easy to uphold and this easy to practice was expounded for the sake of all living beings in the evil world of this latter age. A passage from the Lotus Sutra reads, "In the latter day of the law, dot, dot, dot." Another reads, "If a bodhisattva, mahasattva, in the latter age hereafter, when the law is about to perish, should accept and embrace, read and recite this sutra." A third passage, "In the evil negative age of the latter day of the law, if there is someone who can uphold this sutra, dot, dot, dot," right? Ellipses are here because we've heard these quotations over and over again. A fourth reads, quote, "In the last 500 year period, you must spread it," the Lotus Sutra, "abroad widely." And the heart of all these passages is the admonition to embrace and believe in the, or have resolve in the Lotus Sutra, confidence in the Lotus Sutra, in this latter day of the law. The learned authorities in Japan, China, and India have all failed to comprehend this obvious meaning and have slandered the sutra. They follow and practice the Hinayana and the provisional teachings upheld by the Nembutsu, the true word, the Zen, and precept school, thereby discarding the Lotus Sutra. They misunderstand the Buddha's teachings, but the people are arrogant of their mistakes. Because they appear to be true monks, the people trust them without the slightest doubt about what they're preaching. Therefore, without realizing it, the people who follow them have become enemies of the Lotus Sutra and foes of Shakyamuni Buddha. It is obvious from the sutra that not only will all their wishes remain unfulfilled, but their lives will be short, and after this life, they will be doomed to the great citadel of the hell of incessant suffering. Even though one neither reads nor studies the sutra, chanting the title alone is the source of tremendous good fortune. The sutra teaches that women, evil men, and those in the realms of animals and hell, in fact, all the beings of the 10 worlds, can attain Buddhahood in their present form. This is an incomparably greater wonder than fire being produced by a stone taken from the bottom of a river, or a lantern lighting up a place that has been dark for 100 years, 1,000 or 10,000 years. If even the most ordinary things of this world are such wonders, then how much more wondrous is the power of the Buddhist law, Myoho Rengekyo. We ordinary beings are fettered by evil karma, earthly desires, and the sufferings of birth and death. But due to the three inherent potentials of the Buddha nature, innate Buddhahood, the wisdom to perceive it, and the actions to manifest it, we can without doubt reveal the Buddha's three bodies: the Dharma body, the reward body, and the manifested body. The great teacher Dengyo states, quote, through the power of the Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law, we can do so in their present form. He is referring to the example of the Dragon King's daughter who achieved Buddhahood in her reptilian form through the power of the Lotus Sutra. Do not doubt this in the least. Please tell your husband that I will explain this in detail when I see him. Nichiren. So this was a letter to a lay nun, Myoho is her name. Interesting. This is another of the many, many letters that Nichiren wrote after he retired to Mount Minobu. This was written in 1278. And we've talked about the three bodies of Buddha. And I think it's important maybe to note here that, you know, we read about the three bodies of Buddha and we think that that's unique to Shakyamuni Buddha. But Buddha, again, is a universal life condition of awareness of our own making. And so all of us have these three bodies. When we chant Daimoku to our mandala of Gohanzon, and we focus and we resolve to unite with our Buddha nature, we are enacting those three bodies, the Dharma body being our focus on invoking our Buddha, the reward being that we experience Buddha reward, and that we manifest in this human form our Buddha-ness. That's the manifest body of Buddha. And when you instruct or support or assist others in doing this practice, you are manifesting Buddha. That's our bodhisattva task, right? Okay, so that was short, but very important, critical piece of our practice. So I encourage you to reread that, re-listen to it, download the podcast, and chant about it. You will get clarity because that's what this practice is about. So once again, with great appreciation, thank you for being here. And I'll see you in the next one. Take care of your health. Keep your practice strong. And I'll see you soon. Bye.